Good morning. Have you enjoyed being together today? Yeah, what a great day for us to be worshiping the Lord on Resurrection Sunday, to be able to start our service with a baptism and a real picture of what Christ has done and what He is wanting to do for us. It is a tremendous day for us as believers as we think what Christ has accomplished. In fact, we join our voices today with people all over the world that have been changed. Their lives have been changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we come and we raise our voices together. We give our attention to His Word because we know that Christ has done a great work. In fact, He has done the greatest work of all by having a victory over the grave, by having victory over death itself, by being able to take the penalty of sin and making payment on our behalf and rising from the grave. We come as Christians, as followers of Christ, worshiping the one who had that victory and achieved that victory. And because of that, we can live lives that are made new again. And so I think today as we gather, we're thinking about the eternal blessings, knowing that we can have hope, that we can have assurance beyond the grave. But I think we can also come today recognizing what He has done for our lives in the here and now. How our lives have been changed because of His life being at work in us today. I know that we have many that are guests with us today, and I want to also take a moment and just tell you how glad we are that you have chosen to come today and be spending part of your Easter Sunday with us. I hope that before you leave, you'll take one of these cards and you'll put your name on it. In fact, we ask for everyone to do that so that we know who's been with us, but we certainly like to get to know those who are guests. It also gives us an opportunity to pray for any needs within the congregation by filling that out. And you can certainly put that in the offering plate or in the receptacles in the back. But again, so glad that you're here to join us on a very special day. Back in 2015, there was a man by the name of Anthony Britton. And he wanted to achieve something that the great Harry Houdini had tried. And that was to try, in fact, to literally escape from a grave. Now, I know that there's probably not many people who have tried that, but he did. In fact, he had a 6-foot hole dug. In fact, I think we got a picture of him. This is Anthony, 2015. And he got this bright idea that he would be put into a grave, that he would have his hands handcuffed behind him, and that they could then cover him with dirt, and that he would escape. The great Harry Houdini tried that and wasn't able to do it. He went in with a straitjacket. And I don't know how people like this think. They come up with an idea like this, okay? But that's what he tried to do. And so he went in and he said that when the first bucket of soil came upon him, it was quite a shock. And as I read the article, I thought, well, what was he expecting? I mean, you know, you're in a grave and they're throwing dirt on you. Yes, it's going to be a shock. And they said they kept filling it and kept filling it. It came in, he was trying to get the handcuffs off, and his right arm got stuck in all the dirt coming in. He said, I tried not to panic, so I decided to keep calm. I would sing a song in my head, and I sang Great Balls of Fire by Jerry Lee Lewis. Is that what you think of when you're trying to calm your spirit? Sorry for getting that song stuck in your head this morning, but it was part of the article, so I thought I'd share that. So I'll tell you about him in just a minute. But what was he wanting to do? He wanted to try to defeat death. Today, we come and celebrate a risen Savior who was not trying to do anything other than what He said He was going to do. He said that He was coming and that He would pay the penalty of sin, that He would break the chains, the strongholds which sin puts around us, and He would set us free from that, both in this life, but also in the life that would come. And so we come as followers of Christ today, celebrating His victory. And I know that this morning you may be thinking about some of the texts in the Bible, some of the passages that speak about the resurrection. And you think about that first Sunday morning when the ladies went to His tomb and how they saw that the tomb was open, that He was not there, and how these faithful ladies made a trip back to town and said, He is not here. He is not here. Come and see the place where He lay. And so at that point, on that first Easter Sunday morning, the word began to spread. And here we are, 2,000 years later, and there may be some wondering, well, what difference does it make for me today? What difference does it make all these years later? And I want to, in a few minutes today, try to encourage you to think carefully about the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. Because in doing so, it may change your life now, but also in the future. So I invite your attention this morning to Colossians chapter 3. And we'll put the passages back up on the screen as we go through them. There's really going to be three quick points that I'm going to hit on this morning. The first one is that the old life can be buried. The next one that we'll be looking at is that a new life in each of us can be raised. And then we're going to look at the very end that a decision must be made. That each of us individually have to come to grips with who Jesus is, what He has done, and make a decision for ourselves on whether we want to live with Him and for Him, actually Him living through us or not. And so that'll be our outline this morning that we'll be looking at. In Colossians chapter 3, it speaks about the old life. It says in verse 5, "Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you." Verse 8, it says, "Now put them all away." And then it lists a number of things. And so as you look at this list, what we're seeing is a small summary, a small list of some of the things that Christ died for. That He died for sin. And sin is awful. Sin holds us back. Sin changes the way that we think. It changes the way that we treat others. As you'll read these passages and these verses, you'll see that this is the way of the earth. This is the way of the world, not the way of Christ. So we're going to see a contrast today on the way in which we can live by the sinful nature, or we can live by the spiritual nature that comes through Christ, and it's made possible because of the cross and because of the empty tomb, because we can move from death to life. The old life can be buried. What does the old life look like? It's described as being filled with anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk. Verse 9 speaks about lying. And then he says at the end of verse 9, "See that you have put off the old self with its practices." So again, just a short summary of sinful thinking, sinful actions. And you look at that, and how many of us like to be around people that are spewing out anger and wrath? How many of us like to be around people that lie to us or slander us? I mean, these are the kinds of things that describe not Christ, but the human nature. And so we are born with that nature, and we struggle with it. And as long as we're on this earth, we're going to battle it, aren't we? We're going to deal with anger, and we're going to deal with these kinds of things. But Christ has come to give victory over sin. And what I mean by victory is, I mean, first of all, He gives us victory over the penalty of sin, but He also gives us victory over sin itself, that we no longer have to be bound by it, that it doesn't have to be a stronghold in our lives. Now, in and of ourselves, we can look at those things and say, there's no way. There's no way I can ever overcome anger or wrath. There's no way I can ever control what I say. I struggle with that all the time. And yet in Christ, He says, I can give you victory. That old life can be buried. In fact, in Romans chapter 6, it's even more specific. It says, we know that our old self, the old way of living, the old way of thinking, was crucified with Him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For the one who has died has been set free from sin. Folks, let me ask you, is that not good news? I mean, how many of us have ever been in a situation where we feel like we're just bound up with sinful thinking and sinful actions, that we just can't get past it? And yet Christ has said, I have come and I have given a death blow. You no longer have to be under the yoke. You no longer have to be under the stronghold of those sins that weigh you down and keep you back. You don't have to, because I have triumphed. We're going to talk about the old life and the new life. We'll get to the good news in just a minute. But as we think about that old life, I just want to say that when Christ went to the cross, He died for those sins specifically. Just as it says in Romans 6, that it was crucified with Him. That we don't have to hang on to that or allow those ways to define us. The old self can be buried. Now, sometimes I come across video clips that I like to share, because I think that a lot of us might be more visual learners. We might be able to pick up on something that's done creatively other than just through someone speaking. And I came across a video that I think gives a good picture of what the cross did to those sins that aim to hold us back. That old life, that old way of thinking. And so it's about 2.5-3 minutes long. But watch the imagery of what the cross has done as we look at this video clip together this morning. The big pile of the old way of living was made right there on the ground. And what happened? Christ died for it. Christ took care of it. You no longer have to live as if you are defined by the old self. Why? Because in Christ, He has forgiven it. He has taken care of it. And beyond that, He has done what? He's given you a brand new life. Do you see the image at the very end? The new life taking place. That's the second point this morning. A new life can be raised. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 9, it says, "We've put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator." There's the contrast. The old self is gone. The new self is coming. And that is the opportunity that in Christ, because He was victorious over sin and death and came back as a resurrected one, that He offers through the power of His resurrection for you and for me to live a brand new life. And I know that many of us in this room today, you say, "Pastor, I'm experiencing it. I have been set free. The old is gone. Sure, I'm tempted. At times I still have struggles, but I know that I'm no longer defined by that way of life. I've been given a new life, new desires, new thoughts, a new set of values that I live by with Christ living in me." And so today there may be some that are here on Easter Sunday saying, "I'm still struggling and trying to make that connection between what happened 2,000 years ago to today, Easter Sunday, 2017. And I would say, friend, consider this new life that Christ offers, the one that Paul is writing about here in Colossians 3, when he says that we can put on the new self, that we can be renewed. And there's such a contrast between the old and the new that he even wrote another set of descriptions. If you look there in verse 12, we just finished reading all the things that we put off. Remember the hatred and the wrath and the lying and all those things that were the old self. And what do we replace it with? We replace it with the life of Christ at work in us. And look how it's described. It says, "Put on, then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience." Do those words not describe Christ? They not describe the way that He interacted with others? Look how it ends. "Bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony." Now let's just stop for a minute. Do you see the contrast between these two lists? Do you see what the old way looked like compared to the new? Let me ask it this way. If you got to pick someone to hang out with for a day, which way would you like for them to act? Did you pick the first list or the second one? You see, this is the life that Christ wants to provide through us. There's no comparison. And so many people are stuck. They're stuck with the stronghold of sin. They're just stuck with the old way of life. And Christ said, "No, I want to make all things new." In fact, one of the verses that was put in the video was 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." So folks, there's the good news of Easter Sunday. The good news is that we can have a new life, and that new life means something for today, but it also gives us an assurance for what lies beyond the grave. As I was reading about new life, I came across an article that was written years and years ago. It was written about the aftermath of World War II in London, England. In London, they'd gone through all these bombing raids. There were piles of rubble that was strewn throughout the city. In fact, there's a picture here that has one of the areas of London. You can see, you know, a couple buildings standing, a couple of them fall, and you see smoke coming. And the citizens were regrouping after that. And they said that something very strange happened. It had been a few hundred years since a particular flower had blossomed in London. This particular flower was called the fireweed. And if you look at it on the screen, you can see the fireweed became in bloom coming out of the concrete blocks. And people were amazed. They were saying things like, there hasn't been a fireweed bloom in London since the days of Shakespeare. What happened? And they figured out that in these cinder blocks and in these bricks and in the mortar, some seeds from these old flowers had been lying dormant for years and years and years. And then when they were opened up and exposed, tragically, obviously, through the situation that was there, they became exposed to the sunlight and to the water and the nutrients, and all of a sudden they took blossom. And it's a picture of what happened at the cross. Through the brutality of the crucifixion, through the punishment that Jesus took, there was a new life that would come forth on that resurrection Sunday. Life would triumph over death. The seed of the woman had lain dormant for all these years, waiting for the right time to show its beauty. And then the life came. The life, the victory over the grave, that life that Christ revealed that day, is one that is promised for us as well. In fact, in Romans 6, it says, "Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with Him." So isn't that good news? Good news that we can have a new life, that the old life can be buried and that a new life can be raised, that we can walk, as we saw in the baptism this morning. Brad was saying to walk in the newness of life, this new life that God gives to us when we follow Christ as Savior. It was all made possible because of the victory that Christ had over the grave. Now I know that as we look at the final point this morning, a decision must be made. I know that there must be some among us that would say, "Pastor, I'm right there. I'm in the middle. I'm trying to decide. I'm trying to sense whether or not this is something for me." And I would encourage you to take that before the Lord. Ask Him if the way that you are in your current situation is the way that He wants you to be. Ask yourself if you have fully accepted and received the great blessings that He wants to give you through His grace. Meaning, something that we can't earn that He wants to give to you. Or do you want to continue to live as the life is lived in this earth? There's a contrast in those two ways. Sometimes the contrast is more extreme than others. One of the most famous parables in the Bible is a parable about a son who goes off from his home. It's called the parable of the prodigal son, right? And we oftentimes think about seeing this prodigal and how he goes and how he takes and he squanders what was given to him. And how he ends up at the very end of living for himself. And do you remember what he was eating? He was eating with the pigs, right? And he was just in this terrible situation. But then what happened? The parable says he came to his senses and he said, "My goodness, the servants even at my father's house eat better than me. I'm going to go back. I'm going to go back and I'm going to see if he'll make me one of the servants." But do you remember what happened in that parable? His father was watching from a ways off. The father was a picture of who? God the Father. And he saw him coming down that dusty road. And what did he do? Do you remember? The father, probably wearing a robe, picked up the robe and took off and ran. He ran to his son. And he caught him, and he forgave him, and he welcomed him back. Do you remember what else happened? They had a party, didn't they? They had a celebration. And what was it that the father told to all those who were there? He said that his son had come home, that he had died, but that now he was alive. Now he was back. And we see the contrast. This is the contrast that every person wrestles with. Do I want to live for myself? Do I want to live in the world? Do I want to live with earthly thinking? Or do I want to take what Christ has purchased and make that my own. In fact, if you see Colossians 3, verse 1, it says, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is." And I think verse 1 is so important because it uses the word "if." It's not stating that everyone's done this. He's speaking only to a group of people who have done that. He's saying, if you have done this, if you have been raised, this is what your life is to be like. The distinction is also made in 2 Corinthians 5. And I think this is so encouraging because it begins by saying that Christ died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for Him who for their sake died and was raised. Do you see the contrast there? It says that He died for everyone. When Christ went to the cross, He died for the sins of the world, past, present, and future. But He also says there's two groups of people there. There are those who live for themselves, and there are those who live for Him. And dear friend, listen to me. There comes a point in our lives where everyone must decide whether or not they will live for Christ or continue to live for themselves. And it comes, each of us hit that point maybe at different times and different seasons, different stages of life. But the point is, we each must come to that decision where we will affirm whether or not we will come to Christ, whether or not we will take the victory that He achieved and allow it to be victorious for us. Well, as I wrap up, I want to tell you a little bit more about Anthony Britton, because we can't just leave him there in the grave, can we? I mean, my goodness, poor guy was standing there handcuffed with dirt coming around him, singing "Great Balls of Fire," for whatever help that was. Well, he didn't make it on his own. Now, thankfully, he didn't die because he had a support team there. And if you look at the next picture, you'll see these paramedics brushing the dirt off of his face and reviving him, because as a human, on our own, we can't do what he was trying to do. He finally recognized his limitations. Have you recognized yours? Have you come to the point where you say, "I need Christ. I've tried on my own. I've done it the best I knew how, but I just can't. And I'm living with the consequences of all of these decisions that I've made. I'm still struggling. I'm still bound up by the chains that keep me bound down." Can I tell you that you don't have to try to do it any longer on your own? That you can make that decision to be set free, not by your own doing, but what Christ has done and what He offers for you. Would you come to Him? Would you put it all to the side and say, "God, it's yours"? Because when we come, He doesn't expect us to clean ourselves up. He doesn't expect us to get things right, then come. You know why? Because He's done what was needed. Let His victory be credited to you, to your account. May you receive it by faith. And only by the grace that He gives, may you receive the victory over the grave and enjoy the new life that He offers. Let me close with Philippians chapter 3, because Paul experienced this. He said that I want to know Him. I want to know the power of His resurrection, to share in His sufferings, become like Him in His death, that by any means possible I may do what? Attain the resurrection from the dead. Paul was saying, I want to make sure that I have security in life beyond the grave. And I'm going to attach myself to the one who's been victorious. I want to know Him. I want to know the power of His resurrection. And in doing so, he says in verse 13, "One thing I do, forget what lies behind and strain forward to what lies ahead." And you know what I think he's saying here? I think he's saying, I'm going to forget the old life. I'm going to forget the old self. I'm going to let it be buried, and I'm not going to stay there any longer. I want to tell you, there are some people that can't escape the past. They allow the chains of the past to hold them back. And they go through life living in the present as if the only thing that mattered is what happened in their past. And I want to tell you, by the victory of Christ, you don't have to stay there. Your past does not have to define your present or your future. Now, if it's up to you, if it's up to me, yeah, we're stuck. But if we turn to Christ and say, it's all yours, I give it to you. I'm giving it to the one who has been so victorious, he's the only one that could defeat the grave. And Paul says that I want to be connected to him. I want to forget what lies behind and strain forward to what lies ahead. That means that Paul, he had to forget his past guilt. Had Paul ever sinned? What are some things that Paul had done? He was even present for the persecution and the murder of Christians. He had to move past that. He had to move past the past guilt, the past grief. He had suffered terribly. You can read in Scripture, he was shipwrecked, he was beaten, he was jailed. He had this thorn in the flesh that he prayed about to be removed, but he had to move past it. He couldn't have past grudges upon those who mistreated him or betrayed him. He had to move past and look forward to what God had in store. Forgetting those things which are behind, forgetting the old life and embracing the new. And maybe on Resurrection Sunday, 2017, there are some people here that are saying to themselves and saying to God, God, I've done it my way long enough. I'm laying it down. I'm laying it at the cross. And I'm coming to receive what only you can give me. Church, can you think of a more beautiful day than Easter Sunday for someone to come to faith in Jesus Christ? Are you still with me? I'm almost done. Can you think of a more beautiful day than on Resurrection Sunday for someone to have that new life? And I pray that God will do that in our midst today. Paul said in verse 14, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So friends, may we allow the old life to be buried. May we allow a new life to be raised among us. A life that makes a difference in this life, but also gives us assurance for the life and eternity which is to come. And may we pray for those, even now, who may be at that point of decision. May we pray that God will call them. May we pray that they will respond in faith. And may they see a new life born in their midst today. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you have achieved, that we can come and celebrate the victory that you had over sin and death and even hell itself. And God, we come as a company of people, a fellowship of people who have received a new life in you. And we come worshiping you, thanking you for what you have done for us, setting us free from the old ways, setting us free from the old self, and giving us a brand new life. God, may that be at the forefront of our thinking today as we worship our risen Savior, as we consider who He is and what great work He has done. And Father, we do pray for any among us that might be at the threshold right now. God, may they look to you. May you grant them faith to see you. And God, may they step with a step of faith and reach out to the one who says, come, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. God, may you bring people into your kingdom today. May you grant new life in our midst today. And Lord, may we be a fellowship of people who can be described as those who indeed put on the attributes of Christ with kindness and mercy. May we be able to put on forgiveness and tenderness, and above all, may it be brought together with your love. May those be hallmarks of our fellowship together, and may you be glorified in the way that you are alive in us and through us this day. May you continue to be worshiped as we sing, as we pray, as we give back today through tithes and offerings. Lord, may you receive all of this as gifts of worship to your Son, Jesus Christ. For it's in His name that we pray, and all of God's people said,